Monday the 16th, State Affairs is in session. Representatives are here. The committee members are Representative Larson, Furness, Codry, myself, Abood is chairman. The first bill that I want to take up today is committee substitute for Senate Bill 165, an act relating to racing events on public highways. House committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate bill number 165, transportation. This is the latest version. Do you all have that in front of you?
It started out, as I understand, a bill to peeling carrots.
Now that's what I understand. We do have with us this afternoon Mr. Simpson from the Department of Transportation. Mr. Simpson, would you come up to the stand, please? I note that Representative Schultz has joined us.
My name is John Simpson. I'm Director of Standards and Technical Services Division in the Department of Transportation. I think the department submitted a fiscal note and a bill analysis previously, and if, I don't know what procedures are, but I'd like to submit an amended bill analysis on it, if I could, and just fill you in real quick on what the changes are.
Will it have to, does it have to do with the latest version? Do you have that in front of you?
I think so.
It's dated 5-9-83. It's House Committee Substitute. I'm sorry, it's House Committee, yeah, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill number 165.
I don't think I have that.
That's the one we work on.
Is it the same?
Oh, it is. Wait a minute, Carol. I don't have that. No, I don't have that. Matter of fact, we don't have the latest fiscal note on this. Now, you say you don't have this bill.
Well, can I look at it right quick?
Would you get Mr. Simpson? We'll take time for him to brief that.
5-9.
That's right. That's the case.
This is the one that we've prepared an amended analysis.
I'm going to wait 50 seconds.
It's the same.
Whatever was happening here.
It's the same bill. We've prepared an amended analysis on.
Do you have it with you?
I have a copy.
No, do you have the analysis?
Amended analysis? Yes. Would it be proper to give you a copy of it?
One copy of it?
Unfortunately, yes. I just finished it this morning.
Okay. If we could make some copies of that right away.
Would you like me to summarize the changes?
Yes, if you would, please.
Previously, we took the department's position was kind of negative on the bill. I didn't see the first one that was prepared, and I don't know if it has changed, but since that time, I've talked to the Federal Highway Administration unofficially, which they have, they hold us to certain regulations on federally funded highways, and most of the highways in the state are federally funded, so we took a kind of cautious approach, but since talking to them, I found out that there are limitations, but there's no real prohibitions for doing what's proposed in the bill. In fact, there is an existing statute to that regard anyway, so that we've only made two change recommendations, and we've deleted our previous recommendation that the existing statute be repealed. The changes we're proposing is that the committee may want to consider a provision in the bill which would limit these racing events to situations where there are alternative routes available to the motoring public. And the other one is that the committee may want to consider a bond, requiring a bond of appropriate value, depending on the significance of the event. The reason we're doing that is that, as we read the statutes, there is liability if an accident were to happen because of closing the highway off to the traveling public for a racing event. I've been told by FHWA officials that other states do allow certain events on highways, and they do allow them on federal aid, federally funded routes, and they suggested to us that we contact other states where that's been done. I didn't have a chance to do that this morning, but this bonding proposition might be a solution if it were a significant enough event that there would be tort liability costs incurred by the department or the state. We're not opposing the bill anymore. Actually, in summary, all we're doing is suggesting two recommendations.
Well, now, okay, Mr. Simpson, before I do it, let the record show Mr. Vasquez join us. You say a bond equal to, but you haven't said equal to what?
Appropriate value is what we said.
Appropriate value of what?
Of the possible liability that could be incurred by the state.
How could you stand?
It would be tough. It might be tough. The Department of Public Safety is the agency under this bill that would grant permission for these racing events, and they might have some thoughts on that.
Mr. Schultz, please.
Yes. I was just wondering, according to this the narrative here, and just from what you had covered, if we have it in statute that already allows this to take place, what do we need this legislation for at all?
Well, my understanding of the existing statute is that it's limited to certain things, and this says any event. The one that's on the record, I think, is for car racing, snowmobiles, and motorcycles.
Right.
And this says any event, which we read it to mean that there's going to be an increased amount of requests for closing highways for special purposes. I think, you know, that's a reasonable assumption. And I think the liability of the state might go up if we're exposed to this more often.
Mr. Chairman, if I may. Well, I really don't see any need. I mean, foot race, sack race, dog team, what? Bicycle? Certainly, we have bike trails now and all that kind of stuff. It looks to me like if we're, you know, we're just opening up a can of worms here. I mean, I could see all kinds of things. We might want to close the Alcan off to have a foot race from the border to Toke or something. But it really doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I can't, you know, if you're not, it looks to me like you want to have a vehicles racing on the highway. Anything else can race off of the highway.
Dogs, people, whatever else you might have. Bicycles.
Mr. Furness.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, through the chair. I understand your suggestion, and I'm trying to read this to get an understanding. You're proposing possibly a bond be maintained or at least secured in the case of an event, say like an automobile race, whatever.
Right. It could be a liability type bond, and I'm not that familiar with bonds, but I know they can be obtained for things like that.
Would it be the intent, in lieu of the sponsors of the race having adequate bonding coverage, liability bonding coverage,
that's something I hadn't thought about.
I would assume that we have a number of races, Mr. Chairman. One is the Per Rendezvous race in Anchorage, and I would assume that those are municipal roads. They do indeed offer issue permit, although this last year was questionable. The mayor didn't particularly like it. It was overruled by the assembly. That's ran under the auspices of the Per Rendezvous Racing Commission or whatever. They should have adequate liability coverage. But you could have an automobile race, say, along Northern Light Boulevard in Anchorage, and I would assume that there's some federal dollars in there because it's a long stretch and because of businesses on both sides. Somebody should assume some responsibility to assure that funding is there. What I would suggest, maybe, enhance the bill to say that the sponsoring agency is responsible for adequate liability bonding coverage or something like that. And then that takes you very true off the group.
That's true, it would. And it also occurs to me that the agency bonding may cover things like vehicle races and, you know, transportation, for example. I don't know about public safety, whether their bonding would cover things like, for example, foot races or some type of race on a highway that's not normally expected to be on a highway. That's where the problem, I think, comes.
Chairman, perhaps we could offer amendment. I don't know where it was going. We may want to hold it today, just take a look at that. But at least requiring the document that whoever responds in this race be responsible for the liability coverage. More particularly in automobile racing, if it's a foot race, a bicycle race, or whatever, if it's not much of a danger.
you've got a good point. The only danger I could see is if it was a foot race. And what sticks in my mind is there was a race here in Juneau, I think the weekend before last, the Mud Flats race. And the people started out at the bottom of the Eagle Crest Road, I think. And they crossed the tide flats at low tide. And then they crossed the Glacier Highway out here at 7 miles. And the troopers were there stopping vehicle traffic for the runners in this race to cross the road. And, you know, if somebody were drinking or whatever, weren't paying attention, you have a potential for an accident there. That's what occurs to me.
Baskin.
In that race, the individual participants waived the liability of the city and borough of Juneau.
I wonder if
that includes the highway department.
I don't know whether it would include us or not.
I mean, I know in all city sponsored events, the participants waive the liability of the, you know, functioning act of state government.
We're dealing here then with a, first the athletic commission is the one that has the control over it. Then they go to the public safety and they go to the Department of Transit, the commissioner of public safety and the transportation department, in order to hold this event. In the event that the public safety does not go along with it, they can request a hearing from the Department of Transportation. Now, it just appears to me that by the time they get through all this stuff, the need for the race, whatever it may be, it could be possibly over with. When I'm finished, you don't lie. It just seems to me that, and there have been many cases where you put up roadblocks, you put up barriers, and no matter what the event is, somebody's going to go through that barrier and they've done it before, and hurt somebody. In the case of dog races, we've had people go right straight through and they've had people standing right there waiting for the dogs to come through, and they always seem to get there at the same time the dogs do. So we've had a lot of problems with that in Anchorage. That's the municipality. I am also concerned very much, I haven't heard enough information on it, regarding the federal highway funding and so on, how that shapes up by this, I believe this is your analysis, right? Mr. Burnett?
Make note, Chairman, that according to the document here, the AS05-9001 allows issuance by the Alaska Athletic Commission. Apparently, the Athletic Commission is not a functional body. We are now drafting covering and setting up the Athletic Commission, and I concur with the fact that this decision, all decisions that they should be made by the Department of Public Safety, and the intent of the reorganization of the Athletic Commission, not to have jurisdiction over these kinds of events. It's the affirmative box in the contact sport.
Does 05.90.001A or B have anything to do with the Athletic Commission?
Yes, it does.
It does. They are the ones responsible.
That's what it says now.
But this is, we're repealing the 01001B and reenact it to read. In other words, we're taking the Athletic Commission out of there. Is that true?
That's the way I read it. It's,
you don't want to have any contradiction to that? There is contradiction. Okay, right now, are there any other questions? I want to hear some more witnesses. Are there any other questions from Mr. Simpson at this point? Simpson, thank you for your testimony. If you'd be kind enough to stay here, however, we'll probably have some more questions. Ginger Baum, is it?
Dame.
Please.
My name is Ginger Baum. I'm a legislative aide to Senator Vic Fisher, who's the sponsor of the bill before you. Representative Boot has already been through this in the House Transportation Committee, so what I'd like to do is briefly tell you the history of this bill, why it was introduced, what we're trying to do here, and what's happened to it. You've all observed it has many initials in front of the bill number, so it's obviously gone through some changes. This bill began this session when Senator Fisher was contacted by a man who lives in the Matanuska Valley, a community organization wanted to have a fundraiser, a bicycle race, and it would involve a portion of the race being on a state highway. He was directed to go to regulations, state regulations, which require, there's certain regulations on bicycles, and one of those regulations is that racing events involving bicycles cannot be held unless they are permitted under, and it quoted a state statute. When you go to that state statute, it was the statute that says that the Athletic Commission may issue permits for racing events involving motorcycles, snow machines, and automobiles. So the problem is obvious. The bicycles were required to go to the Athletic Commission to get a permit that the Athletic Commission didn't have the authority to issue. So the problem then was presented to the legislature. The decision was whether we should introduce a bill to repeal the regulation, which didn't appear to be the right thing to do because it was necessary that racing events be regulated in the interest of law and public safety, or introduce a bill that would simply add the word and bicycles to the list of things that the Athletic Commission was able to give a permit for. That was when SB 165 was introduced. The original SB 165 simply listed the words and bicycles in the state statute. Before the first committee hearing in the Senate, the decision was made that it was inevitable that other people other than bicycles would want to be able to be permitted for racing events that are on along or involve a portion of being in a race that involves a state highway. So the bill was changed to sponsor substitute SB 165, which said simply that the Athletic Commission could issue a permit for any racing event in accordance with federal laws and regulations and accordance with public health and safety. Then the bill went to the Rules Committee in the Senate, then on the floor of the Senate. I lose track of some of it at this point. There was the question raised on the floor of the Senate the first time the bill came there that the Athletic Commission was not the appropriate agency to be issuing these permits because of problems that Representative Furness has already alluded to. The Athletic Commission is, for all practical purposes, a defunct commission. It's very difficult to get permits from them. Many racing events were, in fact, being held without those permits because they weren't able to obtain them, and many people weren't aware that they were required to have them. So on the floor of the Senate, the Athletic Commission was struck, and the Department of Public Safety was put in. Also, at that point, in order to follow protocol, the bill was sent back to the Senate Rules Committee, where that amendment was added in the Rules Committee. It came back to the Senate floor. There were still some problems with the second paragraph of the bill for some senators. There was an amendment offered on the Senate floor that substituted the second paragraph with some other language. That bill was the one that was adopted and then came to the House. And the House Transportation Committee, basically their action was to reinsert most of the language that had been struck on the Senate floor, and to one of the provisions on the bill that came to, one of the things, there were two items that were struck in the second paragraph on the Senate floor. One was a requirement that the permits only be issued in concurrence with the Commissioner of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, and the other was that if you were denied or canceled a permit, that you had a right to appeal to the Administrative Procedures Act. Those two items were put back in the bill by the House Transportation Committee, although the item about concurrence with the Department of DOT was changed. The bill now reads that the Department of Public Safety, in concurrence with the Department of Transportation, can issue these permits rather than require a written permission from the commissioner of DOT each time a permit's required. I would like to also, that's basically the history of the bill, and that's how it comes to this committee. There are several racing events that communities across the state would like to hold this summer. One in particular in the Manitou Valley is scheduled for June 1st. They would like to be able to have a system where they can get a permit and be able to conduct these races safely in accordance with federal law and state law. As it stands, one of the things that we discovered in the process of working on this bill on the Senate side is that under current law, there is no legal way for a person or a group or a foot racer, for instance, or other vehicles to be permitted to legally conduct a race along the state highway. So this bill presents the only chance for these groups to have a permit. Specifically, I'd like to answer a couple of questions that arose during this committee hearing. The bill, as you see, says that these permits can only be issued in accordance with federal law. The feeling of the drafters and the legal division that did this bill was that was sufficient language to assure that there would never be a permit issue that would violate the laws governing federal matching funds on highways. As far as the liability of the state whenever they issue a permit, whether the state issues a permit or not, they could still face liability if they were had conducted anything in a negligent or unsafe manner. There is obviously a question of whether state liability would increase by issuing this permission to the department. The feeling of both the Legislative Legal Service and the committee work that has been done on the bill is that simply by saying that the Department of Public Safety can issue this permission under terms and conditions that they set was sufficient to assure that they would set those terms and conditions set to protect the state and to the public as much as possible. we would assume that one of the things that the Department of Public Safety would consider is whether or not to require insurance or bonding of any group prior to issuing a permit. That was consciously not put in the bill because at the wishes of the committee's working on it so far is that be left up to the discretion of the troopers in promulgating the regulations governing the issue of this permission. There is no, I'm sure that no one, I certainly the sponsor of the bill would not have any problem if the committee chose to insert language in the bill that would assure that.
Yes, in these different racing events, wouldn't it be appropriate and adequate for each event to furnish their own liability insurance to cover, as far as it seemed to me that the carrier would be more appropriate that was willing to assume the liability, which should be more qualified to determine what that liability should be for every particular event.
That I think that the question of liability and adequate insurance is something that needs addressed. It's obviously the committee's choice whether they want to address it by inserting language in the bill or leaving it to the discretion of the Department of Public Safety. The committee may entertain, I don't have a copy of the current bill in front of me, but I recall that it may be appropriate to insert language after the phrase that the department may issue permission under terms and conditions they set, comma, after ensuring that the permittee has adequate insurance. Obviously, that's not the legal language, so they have to come up with better language than that, but that may be adequate.
It just seems to me that if you had a race, and it went through the proper channels in the Department of, the Department of Public Safety, got the concurrence of the Transportation Department, and they held the race, and then one of those, let's say it's a bicycler, the bicycler came off and maybe he was down by sewer and rocked him down the hill that they always do, and he hit the rock, over he goes, got down in there and got very, very seriously injured or crippled or something because of it. The state would in fact be liable.
That's completely
that
out of my capacity to be able to answer that. I'm sorry.
Response to the question too, whether the state, Mr. Chairman, I think in a situation like that, the state will not be liable if the participant won't come on and participate. Secondly, a person who participates in those kinds of events, I think it's an ambassador's staff, normally sign a waiver, wavering certain rights as a result of that participation.
Then, Mr. Simpson, if I may direct a question to you, that's probably in your rules, is it not? Or could you establish rules to that effect, that they would be state would be held harmless for this? Could you answer that?
As far as I know, it's not in any rules or regulations we've got now. I'm just trying to think of it.
Well, it appears that the Department of Transportation and many others are very prone to promulgating regulations. I can think we would be able to do this.
I would have to agree with you. I probably couldn't,
yeah.
Mr. Chairman, as for participants being able to raise their rights, I don't know if that's the full answer either, because I don't think they ought to sign the petition. Can a 17-year-old raise their rights, a 16-year-old, a 12-year-old, to take part in certain events? I tend to favor, given the discussion of the Department of Public Safety, probably be the best thing to do here, because it would allow a bit of flexibility. We can bog ourselves down in fire truck regulations that is no event to ever take place. Thank you.
If it appears that we have other special requirements on this particular form, you see this again.
I just handed it to you. I haven't even read it. It's, that was a form that was sent to us by a constituent who originally started the legislation by having a problem with the bicycle races, and I'm not sure where that form came from. I believe that in the note to me that he said this was just a sample of one of the things they could have us fill out that would, and I noticed as I was reading it there that it had a requirement there that you waive responsibility of the agency that's permitting.
Are there any questions from Ms. Anabaskin?
For participants under the age of adult status, generally, they are required to have the permission of their friends or guardians to participate in the event. temple was provided, I think, the Division Day Parade, and it addressed alternative roads. And first of all, do you know the mileage distance of the bicycle lane? And secondly, is there perhaps an alternative road that we can use rather than the highway?
I cannot answer. I don't have specific information about the race that's pending in Comanche Valley. I'm sure if Representative Larson can. But again, the feeling so far with people who have worked on the bill is that one of the things that we assumed that the Department of Public Safety would take into consideration on whether or not they grant permission for a race is whether there's a better alternative. If there's another route that would not involve stopping traffic, that would be a suitable alternative to have the race on.
If I may refer you to line 16, and I'll pose a question. The Department of Public Safety, with the concurrence of the Department of Transportation and Public Safety, may grant and for cause cancel permission to conduct a special racing event as provided in section upon terms and conditions at the time and places by the permit. Now the next one bothers me. If an applicant's permission is refused or canceled, that applicant may request the Department of Public Safety for a hearing. That will be conducted under provisions of the administrative speech. Now, let me give you I want to know the rationale behind that. In other words, here these people came up, and the first thing they did, they went to the Department of Transportation and requested a permit for a race along this trail. That's not valid, whatever turned out to be. Public safety turns out says, okay, this is the way we said. Now we're going to take the Department of Transportation. And they get into it. One of the two don't like the other. Then they have denied him the application. And the guy says, okay, I guess maybe I'm going to file a complaint and I want to hear it. He's going back to the Department of Safety. What makes you think they're going to, if those two that he went to originally got into the beat, what makes you think then that the applicant will get a fair hearing from just the Department of Public Safety? Is this a final authority on it? In other words, then I'll ask the second question. Why should there even be a hearing? The public safety, with the concurrence of transportation, says no. And gives them a reason. Why should they have another hearing?
I can tell you my understanding from, I have asked our legal services staff for the same question that you asked because you asked it from the customer and not for the safety committee. And I can say what, I can pass on that opinion, but I understand I'm not an attorney and I have to do that. Okay. First, a person always has the right to appeal any law that the state promulgates. If you don't have a provision that a person has hearing under the Administrative Procedures Act, their only recourse is to go to Superior Court. And they will file in Superior Court. And the court will probably choose to hear the case because no other method had been provided to that person for pleading if they feel that they've been unfairly denied a permit. So by granting them, by putting it in the statute that they have the right to hearing through the Administrative Procedures Act, they'll go to that hearing prior to, if they go directly to court, the court's going to ask them why they didn't exhaust their ability to go through a hearing to determine whether they've been denied a permit unfairly. So that's, in answer to your first question, then, that contrary to first glance, it appears that having this provision in there would actually bring less litigation and the possibility of less litigation and the possibility of more litigation. I'm not saying I agree with that. I just said that that was the opinion that we had. In answer to your second question, which was, why should it go through the Department of Public Safety? My understanding.
No, why have a hearing?
Oh, that was the rationale for having the hearing is that a person has to have the right to appeal this decision. That's their legal right under law, due process. They have that one way or the other. Okay, the second question is why that hearing should be conducted by the department that originally is in question for denying the permit. My understanding is that's the way the Administrative Procedure Act works, that you have to have the hearing within the department that was responsible for
Then we come into the fiscal note. And you say there's no fiscal note. There's no fiscal note on this. I believe I haven't even got one, but I'm sure it will be substantial. If, in fact, they do go, and they don't like what they hear at the hearing, and then request that guess my whole point is, aren't they having, have they got that much trouble that we've got to really generate a bill to do all this? I grant you, that's everybody's right to a hearing. But common sense tells you, the Department of Transportation and the Department of Public Safety says, no, you're not going to have a permit to race on this particular highway, and I see your hand. And if they say no, I think the guy ought to say, just because it's his right to have a hearing, I still think that the guy ought to say, well, I guess that's it, instead of pursuing it all the way down the line. We've gotten it to the deepest people that are qualified to make that particular decision for the public safety and for the roads and highways that were changed. I guess that's the basic question I've got in my mind. And that wasn't a question, man. That was a statement. Mr. Vasquez.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Chairman, I have a different perspective of the individuals who applied for a permit from the Department of Public Safety or the Department of Transportation.
If you run into given the slightest personality problem, the individual or individuals or groups applying for a permit to use the public highway have no recourse but to go to court. If in fact they feel that they were treated unjustly, they were treated unjustly. The statute in AF 4462, the APA, the Administrative Procedures Act, allows the individual group or individual to petition the Department of Public Safety so that they can't certify for refusing a permit for this event.
Well, Mr. Vasquez, both of those departments have got to show cause why they don't approve it.
And if you disagree
right from the word go, so what the devil are we doing?
If you disagree with them as an individual or a group, pointing to Delta Junction drag races, decide that on Memorial Day they want to hold a drag race in honor of the country and the people who gave their lives for it, they may want to use a portion of the highway in Delta Junction.
And that should be up to the discretion of the Department of Safety and the Department of Transportation to either approve it or disagree.
I agree.
And they're good judgment.
But if you, okay, their good judgment can just put the question by groups, individuals, or anyone else. This simply allows them, the individuals or the individual or group, to petition further to the Department of Public Safety or the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Without that mechanism to petition further, then you can have a very authoritarian Department of Public Safety saying absolutely not.
They have to accept the fact that, hey, there is something wrong here, I would think. I guess I hope they don't pass a law that I'm, you can petition if I don't give you the time of day. I don't mean that you. Mr. Miller, I know that you're a bicycler. I hate to interrupt your lunch, but would you care to make a few statements on this?
I figure if you guys could smoke, I could eat. No, I apologize if you figured that wrong. Mr. Chairman, this apparently has something to do, at least in Genesis, with bicycling, although I don't really understand the problem since there are bicycle races being conducted on public highways right now, so maybe they're just sort of looking the other way or something. I'm all for allowing bicycle races on the highway. Very bicycle race down from Akron to Homer.
I like bicycle races.
But I guess I don't know why we need the legislation in order to do it, unless we're doing it right now in a less than quite legal way. Because the races are being held right now, both bicycle races and...
But let's take it away from the bicycle. Let's talk about, let's not pinpoint bicycle, because I don't think it's bicycle. But there's all racing events, special racing events, bunny kind. But I note here, we do have a fiscal note now, from the Department of DOT and PF, standards and tech, there isn't any. Is there? But you can't tell me that on the appeal there isn't going to be a fiscal. What does the sponsor think of that? Do you feel that there should be some type of fiscal responsibility?
If your question is what we questioned was having a zero fiscal note on this bill. And legislation that I've worked on for 17 years in times past, specifically I remember a midwife licensing bill, there was included in the fiscal note calculations the cost of the division of occupational licensing, assumed that there would be a certain amount of litigation as a result of the licensing procedures, specifically not have that calculation. I don't know whether they didn't consider it or the statement on both your fiscal note and the statement that was given today said that they had assumed that it will be a minimal impact. It's obviously difficult to try to project what the cost of possible litigation might be.
Are there any other questions?
Just to say, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to try to re-emphasize an earlier one, that as long as we leave the discussion as part of the public safety, then we should eliminate all the problems that we have started to see. We cannot say that reasonable people can differ on subjects, and therefore we must have a right of appeal. The right of appeal is to be a last resort, of course, not the first resort. And therefore I favor retaining the petition to be a public safety. And why might there be a leak from the field? If all of you have any questions back before you, say, well, I want to make a decision myself, I think we should probably do is give it more thought, and I'll receive it at this time so that it can be Father Harris doing the appeal process. It's the only one that will do it.
Any other statements, any questions for the witness at this time?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to say, having now had a chance to see you, I just the memorandum here. I'm clearly more supportive of the bill because I see it in the past we have not had the authority to head back to the home.
Well, I'm pleased that we, in fact, I think it is my suggestion we take out the athletic commission responsibility. I didn't feel comfortable with that at all.
I feel better about it now. Any other questions from the witness? If not, thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone else to wish to testify on this particular bill? I'm ready for a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to move the bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. I believe we've got to approve the... We have not adopted the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute Transportation, have we? Okay. I'll entertain Mr. Vasta.
I move that we accept the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor 165 for transportation.
Are there any objections? Are none so ordered?
Scotty.
Scotty.
Yes, I make
a
motion
to
remove that. Title of that bill, Committee Substitute.
Whatever.
Yeah,
all right.
The latest version to the next committee rules.
Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The only reason I brought up some of those questions where I just wanted to air them, that was all. Just to air the things. It's better than sitting here and keeping quiet, I guess. Which a lot of people wish I'd do, but I won't. The next bill I would like to take up is hang on just a second. For further information, I thought maybe we might did you want to testify?
No, I'm appeared to answer questions.
Fine. Would you come up, please?
Thank you.
We will take committee back. Come back to order, please. We'll take up House Bill 374. Mr. Larson.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a brief statement, but I can do it after we hear.
Now you're here just for questions. I'd like to ask a question, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Schultz isn't here right now, so we're going to. We're kind of trying to wing this thing, and I'd live it long enough for him to get here. Would you give him a call down there to where the head is? Wait a minute. He's
the finance.
Where'd he go? In finance. Well, we'll wait. We won't wait for him, but we'll hear some. You have nothing further, so you want it just for questions?
Yes, sir. At the last time we met, you said that the committee might have questions, and that would be the subject of my reappearance today.
And your name for the record?
Vern McCorkle, City Administrator of Anderson, Alaska.
Fine, thank you. Yeah, I would ask a question.
I had a question.
I haven't heard anybody but from Anderson, or Sutton, that wants this prison up there.
How come everybody else does it?
And the people that live there don't. Could you answer that?
I can answer it.
Just a moment, please.
I have visited the community, both the towns of Palmer and Sutton. The number of people I spoke with at Sutton did seem to ratify the information which was printed in the Anchorage Times of Sunday last. However, I do point out to the committee, as I'm sure you understand, the location of the Palmer Correction Facility is not in Sutton. It's 5 miles outside of Sutton, 8 miles outside of the city of Palmer. However, I am not qualified to comment on what the citizens of Sutton really do want. I have a feeling, however, that the testimony, if it can be called that, at least the evidence, printed in Sunday's edition of the Times, would stand on its face.
What is the Alpine Community Council? What does that represent?
My impression is that it represents the organized, localized government of a non-incorporated place. They probably are the major organization that deals with people's thoughts, desires, and wishes in that community. However, I would defer to Representative Larson, who could probably tell us more accurately what they really do.
Mr. Larson.
I appreciate your asking me that question because I am the representative from that district, and I'm sure the person who's testifying from Anderson is not acquainted with what goes on in that area. First of all, the people of Sutton, there's only been one official meeting as far as I know, and that's been a couple of years ago when then Commissioner McInerney held a meeting at the community center in Sutton to determine the question at that time of the proposed prison, maximum security prison, to be built at the Sutton site. It is true, the Sutton site is 5 miles from Sutton, 8 miles from Palmer, and it's also true that at that site there is presently a minimum security and a maximum security prison. Now, the question first came up because a portion of the 640 acres of land in which those two prisons were located on was also incorporated in kind of a moose range or moose preserve by ordinance of the Matanuska Pacific Borough. In order to build a maximum security prison, of course, they needed removal for a portion of that moose range to take that portion of the 640 acres out of the range so that a maximum security prison could be built there. And as a result, then a public hearing was held in Sutton. It's true that I would say the majority of the people there at that time opposed the site because there were many questions that were unanswered. I think there are probably still some questions that are unanswered. It's also true that many people who were there that evening favored the site of Sutton. But because of it, the whole thing was delayed here for a period of time. But my big question right now, Mr. Chairman, is that we have a number of bills having to do with what I consider to be an administrative decision that is not being made. For example, we have a bill in relation to the purchase of a building in Whittier. We have a bill in relation to Seward. We have a bill in relation to Palmer Sutton. We have a bill in relation to Anderson. And in the Senate side, there's a bill in relation to Palmer Sutton Anderson. Now, the part that puzzles me is that I don't know really where we're at. Each of these bills seem to have different committee referrals, and we're trying to seek a legislative remedy here for an administrative problem, but there's no rhyme or reason as to where the various bills are, where they are. I think we have a situation here where we're pitting community against community. Local areas are having to spend a lot of money that we have seen on various instances, not only for representatives from the communities to come down and testify, committee hearing after committee hearing. Some communities have even taken an aggressive approach to provide lobbying efforts. What I'm trying to say here, Mr. Chairman, I guess, is that we have an awful mess where none should exist if the administration would have made the decision as it properly should have or come up with a statement that the decision should be theirs. However, if we have to rely upon legislative remedies for administrative decisions, I think we're going to have to try to coordinate, and I would call upon you, Mr. Chairman, to try to get some coordination so that all of the bills can receive adequate hearings before the appropriate committees and then move on so the decision-making process could be made before this session of the legislature is over. Thank you for allowing me to make that statement.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Larson. This is the only prison bill that I've seen in this committee, if my memory serves me properly.
Right.
Can you recall any, Mr. Miller? I can't help but agree with you anymore. It just seems like, as you said, we're letting the communities fight among themselves as to who's going to get it, and I don't think that's a proper way to approach the problem. Mr. Cowdery, did you have something?
Yes, in line 21 of this bill, I think it says, pertains to all new maximum prison facilities that contain 200 beds or more. I don't know, that could be...
Before you go any further, if I may be old enough to interrupt you, this is a typo error. The reviser failed to put in the words, take out all new and put in the next. And I think that before we do anything with this bill anyway, we'd have that other bill in front of us.
Rather than go into a lengthy conversation about that particular area. Does
that mean if a maximum security prison facility's got less than 200 beds, it can be anywhere else?
By the wording of this bill, yes. Are there any other questions for Mr. Carlson? Okay, thank you, Mr. Carlson.
May I make a brief summary statement?
Sure.
Thank you. Reverend Walker has brought up an important consideration, and it's one that I think that Anderson has taken responsibility for and has found a good deal of support for as well. And that is the fighting of a prison is not merely an administrative decision. The fighting of prisons influences that location for 100 years or more. These prisons are not built today and gone tomorrow. And they do affect communities as commerce, and that's certainly a good community to observe. They affect communities' economic life, and social life, and the developmental considerations are just manifest. We think that it is important that the legislature take its responsibility for helping to decide which parts of the state will or will not develop, because that's one of the primary decisions we're making. Certainly, when it comes to managing the prison and deciding how it goes inside and how that function will operate, that structure will operate, that is definitely a management situation. But it's been our opinion, and one that we do not shrink from to this moment, that it is a legislative decision as to where those kinds of facilities are built. The legislature has a long-standing history of wanting to make it possible to decentralize the functions of government throughout the entire state. That's been the case in almost every department of state government, with the exception of this one. The reason for that is that we don't have any maximum security prisons in this state. This will be the first one. The reason that we think that your committee and others should take that into consideration is that it is not just a simple administrative decision. When you decide to cite a facility of that kind or other government facilities, such as a court office or such as a regional and community and regional affairs office or any other functions of government, that makes a deep influence on that city, on that community. And we think that you should continue the effort to decentralize the functions of government, particularly in communities that are going to grow in the future if they have that kind of minimum support at this time. A final point. Our community has never looked at it as a matter of pitting one community against another. We have good relations with a number of the communities that are contending for the location of that prison. We think that communities stand on the merits of the reasons why they are advancing their community as a consideration, that will itself turn the decision to two or three obvious places. We think Anderson is one of those. Are there any questions that you can follow? Thank you very much for the chance to come back.
We have. Yes, thank you. As you well know, we have House Bill 374, we have House Bill 88, we have House Bill 275, we have House Bill 217. 88 refers to the question, do we want it in Whittier? 275 is for Palmer, West Phillip, and stuff. 217 is for Stewart. I would not feel comfortable in passing this bill out not knowing what some of the other alternatives were for me. And Bethel. So I went over there too. So in view of the circumstances, and in view that I wouldn't be doing anything about it until Mr. Cook was among us again, I would like to see these other bills to compare the purposes. wouldn't think it would be fair for this committee to be exercised as asking on just looking at the bill without knowing the balance. So in view of those circumstances, I will hold the bill until I get the information, and I'll be working on that very strongly to get that information to this committee very shortly. And that is what I would intend to do. And my intention, as I say, is to hold the bill. And I can see that we'll be working on it. We're not doing it. But everybody says, well, it's held in full affairs, and therefore it's set. It's very much alive. It's like the members of the committee out there. There's no motive behind that holding the bill. So I will hold the house that you said before, and for the next period, it can be very important. There's not locked up. From a legal standpoint, the sponsor has also asked me to hold the bill awaiting that information. So in view of those circumstances, my intention is to hold this bill also. Is there any further business to come before the committee except for the fact that Mike and I will sign off on this one bill please sign it before you leave. Is anything further to come before the committee? 3 months? 3 months?